To stand, we will read two verses, verse 25 and verse 26. I need to say, Brother Victor Volrath, you don't have to stand, Brother Vic. I am so in awe that you're here today. I am so happy to have you here, and so are our members, and I know you are, and 92 now, right? Just a few years behind you. If you need any counsel, he's got some experience. What a blessing. Brother Victor, let me just share this about that dear man. Of course, he has been in a nursing home for the past 3-4 years. This is the first service he's been to. He's been a member. He and his dear wife, Juanita, have been members for years. And, boy, he started having some health issues. And then he was stuck there during the COVID as well. But before all of that, he did something that I don't know of any other person, at least personally, that has done this. He hand wrote the whole Bible. He would write out just a couple pages a day. It took you about 5 years. And he's got the copies. The whole Word of God. And he was like a scribe. And I just thought, wow, the benefit, the spiritual benefit that would have just writing out Scripture, even if you're doing a paragraph, you know, the benefit. But that stirred me up, and I appreciate that. I appreciate he and Juanita's heart for the Lord and the grace that is manifest in their lives. We're going to look at two verses. And, of course, the setting is not the Lord Jesus' resurrection. But there will be a resurrection in this context, and we will touch on, emphasize the Lord's resurrection. Verse 25, the Bible says, or Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. Now I could pause there, that is the title. And the life, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And I can see our dear Lord Jesus looking into the tear-stained eyes of Mary and Martha and the crowd that is gathered around the tomb of Lazarus. And I can hear the Lord Jesus look at them with great depth of sincerity, and say, believest thou this? Believest thou this? Father, I pray that you'd bless our service this morning. We are so thankful for the Word of God. Oh, Father, help your people, comfort hearts. We come together to celebrate your victory over death and the grave. We come together in anticipation of that trumpet sound. We come together to be with family and friends, certainly to enjoy the fellowship, not just here, but afterward as we would have lunch and spend time together. And yet, Lord, we cannot overlook the fact that there are heavy hearts in our midst that need the strong arm of heaven to hold them up, to embrace them, comfort them, and help them as well as us to truly look beyond this life into the next. And to be able to say, as a personal testimony, this world is not my home. I'm just passing, just passing through. Help us bless our special music now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mercy.
Thank you, choir. Well, we had some goals this year, and we're still early in the year, but we're excited about two of them that we have cared for. The Lord has allowed us to take care of these. And by the way, the Lord had to do it. We couldn't do it. Number one, we paid everything off, and we also, in regards to finances, well, I guess we're not, we could be there. The goal was to raise $100,000. We could be there. Everything's paid off, but right now we've got some things we want to renovate, so some of that money will go to that. But we were hoping we'd see 300 in attendance on a Sunday morning. I guess we had 307 this morning, so hallelujah for that. Well, the Bible has a whole book about numbers, so, you know, it's all right to get excited about a good crowd of people. All right. Well, I'm going to approach this a little bit different, and not that I'm not enthusiastic, and I will be enthusiastic. My nature or disposition is one of energy, and yet I have done a lot of funerals here over the past year, and I wanted to really help people that are still feeling that emptiness. So you don't mind me doing that right now, do you? Is that okay? Okay. So the Lord Jesus says, I am the resurrection. I believe the whole Bible, that all creation testifies of the resurrection. A grain of wheat will die, be planted in the earth, and then produce life again. A grain of corn will die, be planted in the earth, and then produce life again. The dead season of winter gives way to the living season of spring. Do I have an amen? Amen. The barren trees are now budding forth with life and foliage. The dormant brown grass is now green and alive, and how many of you have mowed your lawns? I like the smell of fresh cut lawn. Every day the sun sets only to rise again. We never worry about whether or not the sun will rise, do we? And we should not worry about whether or not the dead shall rise. In John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, listen to this. Jesus said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. And they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. But the fact is, everybody's coming up. Even in Genesis, the Hebrew day is recorded thus. The evening and the morning were the what? First day. I could have said the second day. But all those first 6 days of creation, we find the evening and the morning, the evening and the morning, the evening, and that's how the Lord recorded the day. We don't do that, do we? We record the day, the morning, and the evening. We conclude with the day dying, but the Lord concludes with the day living. Why did he do that? I believe even in Genesis, God wanted to make the emphasis the resurrection. The fact is, Jesus is called the day star. In Mark chapter 5, verse 41, Jesus showed up at the house of Jairus. He had been beckoned by one of his servants to please, please come. Jesus would arrive and there'd be a 12-year-old lifeless body of a young lady sitting in a bedroom in the house of Jairus. There'd be weeping, a heavy heart. And yet Jairus believed somehow, some way, Jesus could help. And maybe at this time he wasn't so sure, but the Lord Jesus would say this, "Talitha kumai," meaning "daughter, arise." And she did. Well, what happened? The resurrection showed up. That's what happened. In Luke chapter 7, verse 11, Jesus and his disciples would arrive at the gates of the city of Nain. They would witness a funeral procession heading out of the city. Oh, again, weeping. And there's a mother with a very heavy heart, broken-hearted mother, just lost her only son. And the Lord Jesus would come up to the procession. He put his hand on the funeral casket. And he'd say to the dear woman who just lost her son, he'd say, "Weep not." And then he'd say, "Young man, arise." And he did. Well, you say, what happened? Well, the resurrection showed up. That's what happened. We come to John chapter 11, the passage that we read a few moments ago. Jesus had been called 4 days prior. Actually, we're not certain how many days, but when he arrived, in the eyes of Mary and Martha, the brother of Lazarus, they thought he was late. Oh, they were heavy-hearted. And again, there's weeping and sadness. It's been 4 days. He's been in the tomb. His body is decaying. There is a big rock over the tomb. And the Lord Jesus, in spite of the doubts, in spite of the cynics, even amongst those he loved, he would tell them to roll that stone away.
Amen.
And the Bible says Jesus did this. "Lazarus, come forth."
Hey.
And the next thing you knew, you saw this fellow walking out in grave clothes. He was coming forth. What happened? The resurrection showed up. The resurrection showed up. Now I'm going to intermit this. This will not be a long sermon. But I do need to emphasize something here. The day would come when Jesus himself would submit to death. He had to. Number one, because no man could take his life.
That's right.
Number two, neither natural nor supernatural forces could take his life.
Amen.
To try to take the life of the Lord Jesus Christ would be like trying to do demo work on this whole building with a sponge. It's just not happening. Nobody was going to take the Lord's life. And yet the Lord Jesus would submit himself to the hands of wicked and evil men. And on the surface, it would appear they got hold of him. And they themselves thought, "We got him now. We got him now." They would crucify him. He'd be buried. And I'll get to the rest in a moment. We need to ask the question, why? Why did he need to be crucified? Why did he submit to death? Well, see, everybody here, you need to understand this, whether you've heard it before or not. You need to be mindful of the fact that if he didn't die, if he didn't shed his blood, guess who would have to die? That's right. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Maybe you say, I've heard that verse. What does it mean? Let me explain. You see, the reality is, ladies and gentlemen, you and I were all born sinners. Did I ever turn that on? I hadn't turned that on. You've probably been cranking this baby up the whole time. We're born sinners. When we were in the nursery, we were selfish. And we're still, we got to fight the battle of selfishness, do we not? We're not going to shake that till we put off these old bodies. The Bible tells us that because of Adam and Eve's sin, death came upon all men. Not just physical, but spiritual death. Separation from God. All that would be born from Adam and Eve, that's us. I don't think we have any monkeys that have evolved here. I'd like to see your tail. But the Word of God tells us this death passed upon all men. That's why people die. By the way, this sin, it didn't just produce death, it produced evil. There's evil in the world today because of sin. Because of sin. All the hectic chaos, the wickedness in our culture and throughout the world, sin. Sin. Well, that's too simplistic. Well, it makes sense. Just read the Word of God. You'll find history, it's just repetition over and over again of the depravity of man. The fact of the matter is, if I had to die, if you had to die and pay for our sins, we would die and go to hell. We would resurrect, but we would resurrect to condemnation, not life. You see, what you do with Jesus Christ now is what determines where you spend eternity. Nobody's going to be annihilated. We will all awake with consciousness. Every single one of us. I, for one, am grateful there is the resurrection of life available. Grateful that heaven is available. Grateful that Christ paid the full price of my... I said, the full price of my redemption. I can't add anything to it, and I can't take anything away from it. I'm so saved, I couldn't get unsaved if I wanted to. Because I'm gripped by His grace. All I did is reach up one time, and He reached down and got a hold of me. I'm glad I couldn't shake loose. I know that I've tried to shake loose. See, as a fisherman, I've lost a lot of fish, but our Lord doesn't lose them. I love that passage in the book of John where Peter drags in all those fish. And the Bible says there were so many fish, yet the net break not. Yet the net break not. You see, when the Lord has you, you're His, whether you like it or not. The thing you got to be sure of, are you the Lord's? That's what you need to make sure of. Jesus had to die, or you and I would have to pay for our sins. Bottom line, when He shed His blood on the cross, and He hollered, "It is finished," amen, the full price of redemption was paid. Amen. Now you say, well, if it was done there, then what's the deal about the resurrection? Well, that's the great big heavenly exclamation point. Because when He got up from the grave, all believed that what He said was true. They believed so much they were willing to give their lives. They were willing to die. Why not? They're just going to bounce right back into glory. So, the Lord Jesus had to die for our sins. Now, He had foretold of this day, even to His disciples, but they had selective hearing like a lot of us do. Therefore, after they crucified Him, they struggled until He appeared to them.
His enemies celebrated, his friends mourned while he lay in the tomb. It was a very difficult few nights after the death of Christ. But Sunday morning came. Now I love it in all four Gospels, the Scriptures record that on the first day of the week. What day is that for us? What day? That's Sunday. I want that to echo in our hearts. That's Sunday. On the first day of the week, they come to the tomb and found it to be empty. On the first day of the week, they discovered Jesus resurrected. On the first day of the week, on Sunday, I want that to echo in our hearts. On Sunday. Very significant. What a day of peace. What a day of hope. What a day of comfort. The resurrection day. The reality is this. The reason the Christian church meets on Sunday is because it was established here. From the book of Acts, throughout the history of the church, we've met on Sunday. Why? Because it's resurrection day. It's resurrection day. Now I can close with a story. It's a long story. In 2005, my wife and I were celebrating 15 years of holy bliss, wedding anniversary. We decided we're going to go to Niagara Falls. Never been there. We just wanted to make sure it was still working. We flew in. By the way, on that same day, we had some college students getting ready to go back to Bible college. And we had another young man with them. The two boys, Corey Hipple and Grant Davis, were young men that were absolutely fired up for the things of God. Beth Cuevas at the time. I finally deleted that. She was with them, and they were going to get some supplies for Bible college, and they were, I believe, heading out the next day. While they were doing that, my wife and I had landed in Buffalo, New York. Got our rental car, just checked into our room. And actually, just got the rental car. We hadn't checked into the room. Just got the rental car, and we got a call. Beth called first. And she said that, she said something tragic had happened. At the time, she had been thrown from the car. And by God's grace, she lived through this. Grant and Corey, the Lord decided to take to glory. And it was probably, I told my wife, I said, did Beth just say what I thought she said? And we're both just shocked. These boys were very, very involved. Worked in the bus ministry. Grant, just prior to that, I don't know, a few months prior, had prayed and fasted 7 days that God would give them 60 kids on their bus, and they got it. They come to every function, especially if there was food. They helped us set up and tear down. They were there with us from the very beginning of our church, just about. So, somebody else, a police officer, called us to confirm what Beth had said. And man, these were like adopted boys. My little girls looked up to them like big brothers. And most of the church, we weren't a large church, but man, we had a good group of people, and we were close, and it just, it was like a sucker punch. Oh, it just took the wind out of us, but I tell you, the grace of God, as He always does, He sustained us. We made it back home, never did make it to Niagara Falls that year. We would end up going some 15 years later. It's still there, by the way. So we got back here and to make arrangements for the funeral, and it'd be a dual funeral with Corey and Grant's caskets both being here. And I was very, very burdened about what do I say? How do you talk to people, families that are grieving? What do you say? And I remember the night before the actual funeral service, it was the sun was going down and the place was empty. We'd already had the viewing, I believe, that day. And I walked outside, and Grant had this old white pickup. It was a little, and I forget what kind of pickup, a little Ford Ranger. Just a little Ford. And Grant, 6'5", maybe. Longest toes of any human being I've ever seen in my life. And he fit right in that, and that was what he was known for. I went out. His truck had been there the whole time since the death, the accident. And I remember just walking the parking lot saying, Lord, I don't know what to say. I need help. And I looked on his truck, and on the windshield of his truck was one of our bus ministry flyers. And ladies and gentlemen, this may not seem like anything big if I didn't give you the backdrop of the story. It was just one of our average bus, Saturday bus ministry flyers where we'd leave at the house to let the kids know what to expect. And as I'm looking at that on his windshield, it was yellow, just a bright, like a neon, yellow-green. I mean, it stood out with that sun shining on it, the evening sun. And in great, big, black, bold letters, you know what it said? And this may not mean anything, but it meant so much to me as I looked at it because I knew the underlining meaning. Again, it was a bus flyer intended to hand out to the kids on Saturday. It said, see you on Sunday. I stared at that thing and I said, that's it. That's it. I'll see you on Sunday. Amen. Corey, I'll see you on Sunday. Grant, I'll see you on Sunday. Whew. God can take something like that and just fill your heart with hope, with comfort. And I want to take a few moments and I just want to share some things with you. It comforts me because I can look up to heaven and say, Dad, I'll see you on Sunday. In the back of our church, we have these plaques of members who have gone on to glory. Allow me to share. The first one, Ruth Salmon, I'll see you on Sunday. Jerry Gamby, I'll see you on Sunday. Carl Westerfield, I'll see you on Sunday. Catherine Harvey, I'll see you on Sunday. Grant Davis, Corey Hipple, I'll see you on Sunday. Grandma Louise Barnes, I'll see you on Sunday. Betty Wyatt, I'll see you on Sunday. Joseph Strong, I'll see you on Sunday. Clara Thomas, I'll see you on Sunday. Virginia Weeks, I'll see you on Sunday. Karen Hughes, I'll see you on Sunday. Fern Seltzer, I'll see you on Sunday. Francis Anderson, I'll see you on Sunday. Ralph Miller, I'll see you on Sunday. Brad Allen, I'll see you on Sunday. Ray Fletcher, I'll see you on Sunday. James Pierce, I'll see you on Sunday. Bill Webb, I'll see you on Sunday. Robert Baldwin, I'll see you on Sunday. Bonnie Fletcher, I'll see you on Sunday. Dean Sheets, I'll see you on Sunday. Gartha Webb, I'll see you on Sunday. Max Yarian, I'll see you on Sunday. Floyd Newkirk, I'll see you on Sunday. George Campbell, I'll see you on Sunday. David Brock, I'll see you on Sunday. Ricky Musser, I'll see you on Sunday. Kenny Rail, I'll see you on Sunday. Doris Nash, I'll see you on Sunday. Paul Mitchell, I'll see you on Sunday. George Wilson, I'll see you on Sunday. Don Bowen, I'll see you on Sunday. Loretta Thacker, I'll see you on Sunday. Beverly Mervs, I'll see you on Sunday. Carl Westerfield, I'll see you on Sunday. Karen Harum, I'll see you on Sunday. Fred Tanzel, I'll see you on Sunday. Steve Wilhoit, I'll see you on Sunday. Don Allen, I'll see you on Sunday. Jersey Jenkins, I'll see you on Sunday. Steve Allen, I'll see you on Sunday. Dennis Kinslow, I'll see you on Sunday. And April, I'll see her on Sunday. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We are thankful for your word. We pray that the Spirit of God would help us, Lord, to respond to your message. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, nobody looking around, allow me to ask this question this morning. If you are not 100% certain that heaven will be your home, I'd like to pray for you. You'd say, "Preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to be ready for the resurrection of life, but I'm just not sure right now." Friend, if that's you, I would like to pray for you. If you'd slip your hand up so I can see it, I'll pray for you. I'll acknowledge your hand and I'll pray for you. Is there anyone like that? Yes, God bless you. Are there any others that say, "That's me, preacher. Pray for me. I'm just not sure. Pray for me." Are there others that say, "Pray for me. God bless you." Yes, I see that. And are there others that say, "Preacher, that's me. Just please pray for me. I'm not certain. I'd like to be, but I'm not certain. Pray for me." Are there any others as I look around? In a moment, we're going to have a song of invitation. I want to pray. I'm going to pray for you that raised your hands. I would encourage you, if you raised your hands, I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to manipulate you. But I'm going to encourage you. If you want to have assurance, if you want to know for sure, I want to do more than pray. I'd like to show you from the Bible how you could be certain that heaven would be your home. I'm going to take this mic off in a moment. Brother Brian is going to lead us in a song. And I'd ask you to meet me right up front. If you want to get that nailed down, you can get that nailed down. Whatever it is, however the Lord's speaking to you, I hope you'd respond. I'd hope you'd pray for people that you know need prayer. Maybe the Lord spoke to you about something totally different. Maybe your own personal walk with the Lord. Listen, friend, are you living for eternity if you're saved? Are you living for eternity? When all is said and done, nothing this world has to offer us, we get to keep. It's only what we've done for Christ. Father, we love you. We are thankful again for so great a salvation. Bless our invitation. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Brian, come on up.
Let's all stand if you're able. Hymn 292. Oh, soul.